Less than 2 minutes to the bell, and we want to bring in our panel here. We got Hal Reynolds, Chief Investment Officer of Los Angeles Capital. Also, David Nelson, Chief Strategist at Bell Point Asset Management. David, before we get to the bell, I just want to ask you about where you're seeing the market right now ahead of tomorrow's big jobs report.
For today, it looks like we're in a holding pattern right now, and we're looking for a strong print tomorrow, about 800,000. And we're going to need that. What's interesting, you know, for quarter to date, you know, it's been kind of defensive. Utilities have been a leader. Healthcare, that's not really a risk on trade. And large cap secular growth has retaken the lead year to date. So it looks like investors are looking for something more.
Hal, what do you make of today's action? Just the fact that, once again, the S&P hitting another record intraday high after those jobless claims that we got out this morning.
Well, there's no doubt the environment for equities remains very favorable. We've got low rates. We've got record growth, which we expect to continue into mid-2022. We've got record profit margins. That's obviously great for profits. And you can even argue that multiples are improving a little bit because, as David just referenced, we've been in a little bit of a holding pattern, but the estimates continue to rise. And so on the whole, I'd say we're in a pretty good place.
Well, we got just a few seconds left, so I want to get a quick check of the market here. Looks like the Dow is going to finish in the green by about 35 basis points. S&P 500 and NASDAQ set for record closes here, although not increasing their gains too much. And we got the bell coming up right now.
And that wraps up today's trading day. Again, it looks like we're going to close with gains across the board. The Dow up 131 points. That's the highest level that we've seen in the past hour and a half. S&P up just around 0.3%. The NASDAQ also holding on to gains. In terms of the biggest gainers inside the Dow, Walgreens, that stock closing up nearly 3%. Chevron up just over 2%. We're also seeing gains from the Caterpillar, United Health, and Home Depot. Sector action, energy by far the winner. The XLE up just over 2% as we see crude prices also close up just around 2%. We're also seeing gains in healthcare, industrials among the top performers today. In terms of what was not working, consumer discretionary, communication services, and also some losses in technology as well. But we want to bring back in our panel. We have Hal Reynolds and David Nelson here helping us break down what we're seeing today and also what we could expect to see going forward. David, we were talking to Sam Stovall earlier, I guess last hour, and he was saying to expect more muted gains going forward, but U.S. equities is still the place to be. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. Look, we've had a lot of demand pull forward, and you've seen that in some of the stay-at-home stocks like Zoom, Peloton last week, I think today Chewy. You know, the only thing going up faster than stocks in the last year has been earnings. At the start a year ago, the forward estimate was about $150, and today it's about $211. We know we're at peak growth. The question isn't whether we're slowing down, but what are we slowing down to? If we're slowing down to, say, 3% sustainable GDP, I can live with that. But if we're going to go back down and fall down to below 2% where we were for the last decade, then we're probably pretty rich.
Hal, I want to ask you about this impending Fed meeting that we're going to get in 3 weeks now and what you think of the tapering situation. Looks like we got over the hump with Jackson Hole, but what do you think is going to happen at the September meeting for the Fed?
Well, I mean, there's no doubt the market reacted favorably to Chairman Powell's comments at Jackson Hole, and I think the market expects tapering to begin at the end of the year. The question is, what impact is it going to have on rates? If growth is as strong as we think it is, you can't help but think rates will really begin to rise. And that, of course, and I'm talking about long-term rates now, and that, of course, will impact valuations, particularly for the growth sector. We saw what happened earlier this year, and if rates were to rise again, we'll see a very similar effect. The fundamental momentum is very strong, but, you know, you can't really ignore the risks, I think, on the horizon here. And the risks are that fixed income investors once again require a real rate of return. And if inflation is going to settle back in around 2, we can expect long-term yields to rise. And even if inflation turns out to be transitory and it settles down, we can still expect rates to rise a bit. So, yeah, that's certainly an issue for the market. you know, one other thing I'll just mention quickly, we've been following the China crackdown, technology crackdown in the last 6 months. And I think that really does have broader implications for the world. And I think that's something we all need to think about, too. We saw what happened today in China to share prices in the tech sector and internet sectors. And I think that could have implications across the developed world. So that's something to watch.
Yeah, Hal, just talk to us a little bit more about that. I noticed that in your notes, just the fact that the broader potential broad implications. I guess, what exactly do you mean like that? What do you think investors need to be aware of?
Well, there are two things. So we saw what happened to luxury good providers in Europe in the last month as the Chinese talk about wealth disparity and changes in their tax structure. Obviously, China is the second biggest economy in the world. They're big consumers. So that has implications for anyone who's exporting goods to China. I think also the issues that they talk about in China today are global issues, wealth disparity, anti-competitive behavior, cybersecurity. These things are not unique to China. Now, I would never expect regulators in the EU or the US to employ some of the things, same things we may see take place in China. However, these are global issues. And these, of course, do represent a risk to technology companies, particularly in the US, where we're the leader.
David, got to talk housing because XLRE, that's the S&P 500 real estate ETF, just closed at another record high. I'm looking at gains of, I think, over 30% this year, far outpacing the S&P 500. One might say there are signs of froth, but at the same time, we haven't reached levels of 2005, 2006. So I'm just wondering what you see right now.
I think real estate's a pretty broad sector, but in terms of housing, yeah, there's certainly a lot of froth. When I see as many buyers as I see right now willing to bid well above asking price, that doesn't just smell like a top, it likely is a top. The only thing holding up the housing market right now, it's not just demand. It's the fact that interest rates and the risk-free rate is where it is. It doesn't matter what the price of the home is anymore. It doesn't matter whether it's $200,000, $2 million, or $4 million. The only thing that matters is the mortgage payment at the end of the month. And as long as that stays low, it supports these prices. When rates start to rise, there's going to be a lot of buyer's remorse here. And the only way you're going to get value out of your home is staying in it for the next 30 years. You're not going to be able to sell it for a profit or extract equity from it.
How would your take just on what's going on in the housing market? Because we've talked to a number of guests. We always get both sides of this story here. Some are concerned, some like some of the froth that David was just talking about. Others are saying there's absolutely nothing to be worried about so far. Where do you stand?
Well, I guess I'm somewhat in the middle, but David's absolutely right. I mean, rates are driving it. It's the mortgage payment that matters. And so rates are absolutely driving it. I think as we begin to taper, you know, if the Fed's no longer sopping up half the new issuance, clearly rates are going to rise. The one thing that doesn't cause them to rise is very weak economic growth, and none of us want that. And so I agree. But, you know, the housing market's pretty sticky, right? I mean, rarely do you see a sharp correction in the housing market. And there's still, of course, pent-up demand in many parts of the country. But yeah, there's no doubt that rising rates will have an impact.
David, of course, another big story that investors are watching are the developments when it comes to Delta, although it doesn't seem like it spooked investors too much. Investors have been able to shrug off this pretty big jump that we've seen in the number of cases. Why do you think that is? And what do you think the market is more focused on then as a result?
I think Delta is definitely having an economic impact. And you know, right now, the battle on Wall Street is a lot of banks out there are tripping over themselves to cut estimates for GDP for Q3. The good news is that they're adding it back to Q4. So let's hope that that's how it plays out. It doesn't matter whether the consumer is retrenching on their own concern about Delta and kind of staying at home and not booking that airline ticket or going to Disneyland. Or the mandates that are playing out there, forcing them to make those decisions. One way or the other translates into less economic activity. And there's an added factor. The supply chains are disrupted. You're seeing it play out in autos. You're seeing it play out in the chip sector. Chips are in demand. And inflation within shipping right now is just astronomical. At the start of the year, it was $5,500 for a container. And now, if you want to ship a container from some parts of the world, it could be as much as 22,000. All of those are problems on the horizon for us. So I'd like to believe it's smooth sailing, but there'll be a hiccup somewhere along here.
David Nelson, Chief Strategist with Bell Point Asset Management, and Hal Reynolds, a Chief Investment Officer with Los Angeles Capital. Always great to have you both on the show. Thanks so much for making the time.